Flexibility is great. That's why there's yoga. Flexibility for your insurance coverage is great too. That's why there's United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, United Healthcare Insurance Plans offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for medical, vision, dental, and more. One of these plans may be right for you if you're, say, between jobs, coming off your parents' plan, turning a side hustle into a full hustle, or even missed open enrollment. Want more flexibility? Find out more about United Healthcare Insurance Plans at uh1.com.
Sissies, we are in a state.
Is there a new flavor of Oreos?
No.
Oh, they finally started a gay men who can knit subreddit?
No. And if they did that subreddit, I would report it for being sad.
Well, what is it then? Some new Keira Knightley movie?
Close. Sissies, we are excited for Vanderpump Villa, a new reality show starring Lisa Vanderpump.
Now on Hulu. Oh yeah, it looks delish and the guys are really hot.
It's not only about the hot men, Maddie. This is a high-class show, and Lisa Vanderpump is taking us across the pond. Sissies, in this gorgeous new show, you can join Lisa and her hand-selected staff at Chateau Rosabelle, a glamorous estate in the French countryside.
With really hot French guys?
No. Well, maybe. Stop distracting me. Sissies, meet the elite staff as they work, live, and play together 24/7 while dealing with rivalry, romance, and misadventures. But don't get it twisted. The staff will need to meet Lisa's high standards as they try to provide once-in-a-lifetime experiences for their guests.
True. And Lisa has a staff. Mixologists, chefs, housekeepers, event coordinators, and a chateau manager.
Who's really, really hot.
I knew you'd get there. But sissies, not everybody has what it takes.
Oh no, it gets messy. So get prepared, sissies, because Vanderpump Villa has first-class luxury and world-class drama.
Watch new episodes of Vanderpump Villa every Monday, now on Hulu. Sissies, it's very exciting. We are continuing the ménage à trois train.
Ménage à trois.
With
quatre this time.
Poodle, how many times, you know what? I don't want to ask how many times Poodle's been in a ménage à trois train.
Sometimes you just throw in, and when you got three in the ménage already, four is just a good addition.
And we have four this episode. Y'all, we have John and Teresa from Married to Reality, one of the only real life 90 Day Fiancé couples to actually talk about 90 Day Fiancé.
What's up, guys? And we put Teresa in a couple. Closet. We put Teresa in a closet so we can make this an actual.
If you're watching the video.
Hello, guys.
Yeah. Thank y'all for being. I said 90 Day Couple because we were just talking. Poodle and I, we're going to get into that, but you kind of had a 90 Day experience, but not the K-1 and all that kind of stuff. We're going to talk about that in a minute. But if you don't listen to Married to Reality, why not? Why not?
What are you doing?
Exactly.
Now we're going to talk about the show, but I know Jake and I both just, y'all, we are recording video. John is
hot.
John is hot.
Hi.
Poodle and I are going to be distracted.
John's hot. Teresa's really put together and cute.
And you know, Teresa, I'm not into girls, but she's pretty hot too in a closet. Just make me think things.
Maddie, can I say?
Right.
You complimented her makeup when we saw you guys live, and we should get into that in a minute. But you complimented her makeup, and she has not stopped talking about it.
It was beautiful. It was beautiful.
I'm sitting here with an inflatable guitar behind me, just sitting there in a box.
It looks like my bar mitzvah.
Been to a lot. I was going to make a weird bar mitzvah joke, and it's not going to really work because the boys are young.
Because we're 13. Yeah.
Yeah,
we are all 13. So we're going to talk about how you came up with the genesis of the show. But before that, let's just jump in. Like, tell us a little bit about your experience as an international couple.
All right. I'll take the lead on this. And then I want Teresa to jump in with the whole visa origin, because we're not a 90-day couple. We're an international couple. We're a green card couple. We're going through that process. We can talk about that a little bit if you want. It's definitely a little more difficult during COVID. But Teresa was in the States when I met her. And I didn't even know she was international when I met her, because we met where all amazing relationships begin. We met on Tinder.
Oh, of course. You didn't tell him. You fooled him. You bamboozled him.
I mean, listen, I was working like 3 jobs. I just wanted to have a free drink, so I swiped right. And look at us now.
Look at us now.
I'm not even joking. I mean, I love you, John, but whoa. I'm not even joking.
I feel like we're going to learn a lot about each other on this podcast.
The absolute deadpan sarcasm which most Eastern European people live their lives by is you all need to experience it once in your life.
Can I be honest? Once I found out she, because I'm a very sarcastic person. If you guys have listened to our podcast, you know I'm very sarcastic. And I was terrified that all of my jokes would fall flat, which they tend to do, but especially fall flat on Teresa because of the Eastern European humor.
Yeah.
But after the first date, I knew it was going to work. But yeah, her Tinder profile said Teresa with a Z. And so my opening line was, oh, that's an interesting spelling of Teresa. Are you from another country?
Smooth.
I'm trying, Poodle. Is your family from another country? And I think you said, yeah, I'm from Czech Republic. I still don't know what that meant in terms of, were your grandparents from Czech Republic?
Yeah.
Are you? And before our first date, she goes, I just want to warn you, I talk funny.
And I did say that. What an idiot.
Googling. Dobrý den? Dobrý den?
Look at you.
I know a little bit of Czech.
Wow.
I lived in Brno for 4 weeks.
Stop it.
Yeah. No.
I went to college in Brno and I quit and dropped out.
My most beautiful city. Praha is the best, but Brno is like a second for me. Yeah.
I'm like from the southeast. It's literally like half an hour from Brno. On the borders with Austria and Slovakia. It's like a tiny town, a lot of wine,
a lot of partying.
I would
highly recommend, if you've never been to the Czech Republic, it is, especially a lot of cities, it's, they both know this, because have you been, John?
Yeah,
have you
been? It's been my third time. We're going in July to be my third time.
It's one of those places that kind of survived the bombings of World War II. So you feel like you're in the fucking Middle Ages.
And actually,
you don't. Sorry. Mm-hmm.
Go ahead, Poodle. I'm sorry.
No, I was just going to say.
No, I think it's more interesting for Jake to talk about your country.
yeah, that's what I normally do. I'm going to tell you about your experience, Teresa. But no, it's so weird that you, there's a moment where you're like, am I in 2022 or 1122? That's
exactly
the way it feels sometimes. Yeah.
Yeah. And like Prague is actually the only city in Europe that was not destroyed by the wars.
Exactly.
So you see the original architecture and it's gorgeous and it's pretty cheap because we are in EU, but we don't have euro.
Exactly. I drank, basically, I spent much time in Prague because I ran out of money in Europe. And so I just spent the last 3 weeks in Prague. I was supposed to go to Amsterdam, and it was too expensive. And so I just drank my time away and fucked Czech boys.
Poodle, I have to imagine the Czech boys are not that attractive if she's chosen this over her.
John, they are gorgeous. It's a problem, and it's along the Dick Riviera, so there is a lot of penis to choose from.
A lot of beautiful uncut penis, and a lot you might
not
know.
That's where Bellamy, the porn company, started.
I was
going to
say it's kind of gay mecca for porn. Like if you're a gay in Europe, you need to go to Czech Republic, just because it's like very famous for that in the gay world.
I just learned Dick
Museum.
Something.
Yeah, send us a link. We'll check it out.
No, you don't. You don't want to look see link because a lot of them look underaged.
It's not good for straight people to see that part of gay life.
No. Yeah. So you go on this date and fireworks happen, I'm assuming.
Well, so she tells me she talks funny, and I am notoriously terrible with accents. So I start freaking out and going, I need to find a quiet bar. We're living in New York City at this time. I don't know if we mentioned. So I need to find a quiet bar, Yelping, Google reviews, trying to find any place quiet. I finally find one, plan it. And she messages me an hour or two before going, sorry, I'm not standing you up, but I got to work a little bit later. So I'm not sure if we're going to make this happen. And I go, it's cool. Work comes first. Let me know if you get out at a reasonable time. We'll grab a drink. She messaged me back an hour or two later and goes, let's do it. One caveat, I can't make it to that bar that you found. Let's just find somewhere closer. So long
I'm not walking 20 blocks. Like, come on.
Now you would walk to the end of the earth for me, Teresa. But yes, before
now
we
I would. But hey, 20 blocks. There's no subway. I mean, buses in New York City, please.
No, that's a lot. That's a lot.
So and the blocks are long.
Yes.
So yeah,
and girthy. So
yes,
she goes. Let's
like
find,
check dicks.
Let's find somewhere closer. Jesus. So the only place we could find that was closer was the loudest Irish sports bar in New York City.
How and romantic!
How romantic! But we connected. We hit it off. She had two beers and said she had to leave. So I was kind of like, I don't know if that went well. If there's going to be a second date. But as I walked her to the corner, she said, "Next time, I'll buy you the beer." So I knew. Second date, and the rest is pretty much history.
Well, I don't know if I ever told you this, John, but
oh boy,
I was given a book about how to date in New York City, and and in that book it said on the first date, if you don't just want to like bang someone and never see them again, don't get too drunk, have a drink or two, and leave to leave an impression.
Ooh.
And that's what I did.
I'm not familiar with that concept, but I might try that.
Like if you feel like if you feel like, oh my gosh, like this guy is a dick, but I might bang him, that's fine. Like go for it, get drunk and get it on. But if you feel like there might be a second date, like just take it easy. And that's what I did.
This yep. second date thing, we'll talk more about it. I have a feeling.
It's an interesting concept. I understand.
So yeah, not really familiar with the concept. But
not familiar.
I'm used to banging in the car or banging at their house or
just the bar. Out. I've seen that
or just the bar
in front of
and
people.
So
I'm not kidding.
I understand you don't want to get ripped, and it is a good suggestion. That's to everybody. You know. It's even tricky. I always, for the first date, if I actually want to see them, I'll try to make it for like, it's either a drink that's like earlier in the day. So it won't be like, it's like not 9 o'clock in a bar and I'm already throwing them back. And although it does feel like sometimes, you know, you're at a bang date where you get there and they've already been drinking and you're like, okay, I know what this is.
Mm-hmm. I know yes. what I'm in for. Yeah. I guess the second chapter of that book though said, get blackout drunk on the second date because...
Well, the second date was like, be yourself.
Be your alcoholic self. Own it.
So y'all just got like, drunk together on the second date?
The second date, we went to a museum. And so for the afternoon date...
To show her you're smart.
It was actually her idea. And we then went to a bar afterwards and she could not stop drinking. So I learned the real Teresa on that second date.
Perfect.
No, I'm not an alcoholic, but... I mean,
no, you like to drink. every Czech person I've ever met can put it away.
Oh yeah, oh yeah. Czech people love to drink, like love to drink for any
second only to the Irish.
We celebrate everything. It's like okay, it's your grandmother's second cousin's birthday. We're there, like, and we're gonna celebrate.
And Czech people at a bar, you can make just a friend to the people. It's one of the few places in Europe. They'll do it in Germany a lot because that's also the culture. But in Brno, where we were, you would be there and someone would just introduce themselves in a bar. And the next thing, they were buying you drinks and you were staying all night and you'd met friends for life.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
That just happened all the time in Brno.
The beer is 50 cents. So it's so cheap.
I know.
It's easy to buy
around.
I was
shocked. I was absolutely shocked. When I was there, just to tell you, beer was a quarter. Mm-hmm. It was American quarter, which was like 2003,
wow.
2004.
20 years ago.
And it's a good beer. And it's
fuck
a
off.
Good. It's not Bud Light. Come on.
No.
It's not
no,
water.
It's Budvar, actually.
Budvar, yeah.
Oh, you're going to make me want to travel. So y'all, love story.
Yes.
Y'all get married. How long have you been married now?
2.5 years.
Mm-hmm. We got married in 2019, right yes. before the pandemic.
So you were just, so everyone knows, what visa were you on? Because we were
I was on
K-1 visa.
Multiple visa. I came here on J-1 because I was an au pair. And then I went to F-1. I was a student. And then I got my work visa. And as I was working, I met John. And here I am.
Bingo. Sounds like a bingo game. J1.
And how
day
perfect
one,
because
step one.
How perfect because we're gonna not y'all. By the way, we didn't say this. This first part is going to be on our feed, and then the second part of this is going to be on their feed. And we're talking about 90 Day Diaries today. We should have said that at the first, but
it's on par for it's on how, on brand for
on
us.
On brand for us. But we're definitely going to talk on the second half on your feed. We're going to be talking about Matt and Ala, and you're how fitting you can talk about an au pair and what that
I
is.
I know. That's I'm a new excited concept, about it because I have a lot to say.
And you guys are in Ohio right now, right? Is that where you are? Or do you say that?
Almost as bad. We're in Florida.
Florida. Oh, my God.
I know.
Sorry.
I know.
Sorry, Florida
not,
sissies.
Not bragging. Not bragging.
I'm...
We tried to get a Tampa date there because we have a lot of sissies in Tampa. Yeah. But we think all the theaters are owned by the mob because it's sketchy as fuck to book a theater there.
Our booker's like, everything is weird. Every place that I talk to is weird to book place. She's like, I've never encountered a market like it.
It's don't say gay. It's not don't say reality gays. So I don't know.
No, yeah. Yeah, exactly. I think it's something where it's just she was trying to talk to comedy clubs and we think they're all Russian mob owned.
Well, much.
But so we'll see. We'll see.
Come
on
down.
We're gonna do it in the fall, definitely.
Good. So you're on a green card. I want to get to this because I want to talk about the couples. And so
she got a green card.
You have the green card. And so that is, so do you still, are you still here on the green card or what's that process?
I'm still, so I don't know if you guys, I'm sure you're familiar with this a little bit. When you apply for a
green card.
You'd
be surprised.
You get a green card for 2 years and it's called a conditional green card. And after 2 years, you basically have to pay a lot of money and reapply and prove that you are still together. If you're not, you have to prove that, okay, we were married. It was legit, but it didn't work out. Mm-hmm. So right now we applied for my second green card, which means you get it for 10 years. And because of the pandemic, we've been literally waiting for over a year and with like no response. But during this time, like I can stay here legally, I can work, I can drive, I can do anything because they basically send you a letter saying, hey, we received it. Here is your extension. Live your life. We'll let you know when we get your case. And so we got the extension for 2 years, which means they probably are all backed up because it usually was like 12 or 13 months extension. Now they give you 24. So yeah, we are going through everything that the 90 days couples are going through or went through if we're talking about older guys, but it's not fun, it's not cheap, but it's worth it. Ask
it's John. So worth it, right? There is
and you're counting the days. You're like, how much longer do I have to stay with him? There's a circle date on your calendar.
You're just waiting. And so when did y'all what happened to, let's do a podcast about this, like where did that genesis come from?
Well, I introduced Teresa to 90 Day Fiancé when we were living in New York. She had never seen it before. I had been watching it since the first season. I just love reality, documentary style stuff. So I'll watch anything like that. I introduced it to her in the minute. Oh, Teresa?
I was going to say, you introduced me to 90 Day when it was like season 2 or 3. So it wasn't like that deep in.
When it started going, when it started just
that
going
good,
a little nuts.
Yeah.
It was good shit.
It was Danielle Muhammad, and that was
gateway.
But that was my concern as I'm showing it to her. And back then, I think the storyline was kind of everyone's scamming, everyone's coming here just for America. And I'm showing it to her not thinking that. And halfway in, I think to myself, does she think I'm testing her to see if she's scamming and what her reaction is?
Wait, what are you being a Bilal or what?
I do. I am rocking the Bilal wall right now.
That's true.
You are in front of a white wall. I don't know what your house looks like, John.
You need to take that lamp away so I can't see anything. Yeah. And you need to have on a shirt that is like dingy and go back in your white rapist van.
Be grateful.
Yeah.
Be like grateful.
That said worked for it or whatever. Some shit.
But I play her the first episode. And she is dead silent. And so I'm starting to freak out. Oh, no. I think she's Muhammad. She thinks I'm thinking she's one of these people. And it ends. And she goes, play the next one. Like, what are we waiting for? Play the next. And we probably watched 90 Day that night from 7 p.m. until 2 in the morning.
Yeah. Oh, you fell in love during this show.
Fell in love.
Yeah, watching okay. Watching that girl talk about going to court and binders. How nice.
So we watched it. She loved it. We kind of talked about maybe we should podcast about it. I don't even know if there were podcasts about it back then. We weren't listening to them, but we kind of just said, nah, we actually started a different podcast for one episode called Why Is Nobody Talking About This? And it should have been called Why Is Nobody Listening to This? Because
that was going to be my next answer.
Nobody was. Okay. And it was just things that nobody was talking about. We thought, oh, it'd be cool if we talked about it. The first episode was Wolverines.
Like the animals.
The animals. And our big second episode was going to be Almond Flour. So,
oh, we're wow. actively trying to like have people turn their podcasts off.
Is this like the producer of the producers of podcasting?
It's on. It's still on. Oh,
but
I
can't believe it's still on. But only the Wolverines.
But we love your intro song. It gets stuck in our heads. We walk around singing it. But we sang an intro song to that
for the Wolverines.
For the Wolverines
back in 2016 or whatever it was. So. But we tried that, stopped very quickly. And then in quarantine, I think people created two things. They made babies or they made podcasts.
Yeah,
true.
We made a podcast and we said, now we have time. We're sitting at home. We're still watching all this stuff.
And a podcast is much more affordable.
Mm-hmm, yeah, mm-hmm. But it still keeps you up at night. And
That's true.
You end up watching TV shows that you don't really want to watch. So it's similar to a kid. But we ended up doing it and it'll be 2 years next month or
yeah
that's
I can't
awesome
believe that
yeah
that's wonderful.
I think ours is a little bit longer. I think we'll be 2 years, we'll be 3 years in August.
Oh yeah. Wow.
So that's but yeah, it's like because we did a podcast before, we were doing other podcasts before, kind of like you guys were doing where we would have like, we were doing like Riverdale and scripted television, yep. And some people would listen. We were so happy if we got like 800 or 1,000. We're like, yay! But it wasn't until we started doing reality shows that people was like, yeah, this is it. This is it. Because it's not just that it's so much fun to make fun of, and it's just so relatable to most people. Mm-hmm. And you guys are entertaining people, so you're already going to be great in a podcast situation. You just need something to talk about.
Exactly. So it was so amazing and kind of, I didn't expect it. The community, the listeners and even the podcast community, everyone just wants to talk about it. Some, you know, people have family or friends who don't watch the shows. They listen to the podcast. Then they message us or they want to talk. And it's just this interesting community. And you've created with the Sissy Squad, which is, I mean, you're, show is amazing.
I'm a sissy. I mean, come on.
Yes, girl.
I think
it's one of the best things about that community is how supportive people have
become. And we've got to give it to Cray Cray because they heard we were doing a show and they said, come and be on our show.
The OGs, right?
So, the OGs, Kim and Kyle, the OGs.
Were they I bet they were
I
the
think
first.
They were the OGs.
They were.
I think they were the first. They were for sure the first successful.
Or at least purely 90 Day Pod. Maybe other reality shows mixed it in once in a while, but they went all in on 90.
I don't know if they've got an official 90 Day Podcast or the TLC has an official 90 Day Podcast that's pretty awful.
I think it already went away. Maybe
that's
it
not around anymore. That cannot
if you ever listened, it was one of the worst things you've ever heard.
I tried. It was worse than Why Is Nobody Talking About This?
I want to go listen to the episode about the Wolverines.
Please don't.
Please don't. All right, let's jump in. We're going to talk about at least two couples on our show. Well, or not couples, one couple and then one person, I guess, who's sans a partner. Let's just jump into it, y'all.
But he's got his mother. Boy loves his mother.
Butter. Let's talk about Mike up in Scream.
Scream. He's wearing Scream.
Mike is back, y'all. He's
yay? No one's happy to see Mike.
I don't mind. So I feel like I have the opposite opinion of most podcasters, most viewers. We don't like The Other Way that much. I know a lot of people love it. For us, I don't know. I just feel like it's never successful. You're just watching. There's no stakes. No one's ever going to move to the other country, okay? So we're just watching a vacation. But we loved this season, Happily Ever After, with Mike and Natalie. Brandon and Julia, Jovi and Yara. We loved it. And so Mike and Natalie, for some
reason, they were bonkers.
For some reason,
oh my gosh,
it was pure entertainment for us.
She's so nuts.
I kind of made a turn with 90 Day Fiance too. Now I'm accepting it. I think I won when we first started 90 Day. There was a couple of crazies and more kind of docu-style. And so I think I was missing that. And now I will say, after this last season of Before, I've been converted, where I really enjoyed last season. And the more I think about it, we did one of our live shows, which we're going to continue now every season, doing a top 10 of our favorite things, of listeners' top 10s. And that reminded me, and Jake said, just how much I actually enjoyed this season.
Yeah.
And like this season of 90 Day, I'm 100% into it. Like, I think about it. Mm-hmm. And you're right. I never thought about that. Like, besides Jenny, who actually the other way actually did move. You're like, it's just, you're right. Yeah, it's a fucking
vacation. Kenny and Armando are one of the few.
If you can, I'm sorry. If you can drive to that, it's not the other way. It's not
good
the other
point.
Way.
That's a good point.
If you can still find a Starbucks, if you can go to six Starbucks right in within a 10-mile radius, it's not the other way.
Yeah. Now, mm-hmm. We do like, this is total GDD sidetrack. I know we said we're going to talk for 30 minutes. We're not. We're talking longer than that. But I am very excited about this season of Love in Paradise. Have you seen the trailer yet?
Saw the trailer. We watched half the season last episode. And we're trying to watch so much that we kind of have to bail on it. But I think we need to get back into it.
No,
it
We got to watch.
Is bonkers. In the best possible way, and it will give you characters like Amber and Daniel, otherwise known as chicken fingers and ranch dressing. And
yeah, I don't even think you got to ranch dressing if you only watched half.
No.
Daniel, what is my favorite sauce to eat the chicken fingers with?
But actually, you'll end up, like, we end up falling in love with Amber and Daniel. Like, they're actually a couple from 90 Day Fiance we like. They're one of the few couples we would probably actually interview, like, on a live show. We like them so much.
She started out as, like, this nutty, high-maintenance blonde woman from Florida with a lot of control issues. And then those issues became endearing and funny. And he's just normal. And they seem to love each other and really hot.
And
she's always saying things like, that's when they were doing the whole interview of, like, what is my favorite food? What is my favorite color? What do I like? Did you all have to go through that?
You do it. Stop it.
Once in a while, for fun, I test you and you always know the answers, but you kind of like get to know each other as you go.
Yeah,
I don't know.
I feel like
our relationship's been very chilled since day one. Very like, let's see what happens. And like things kept happening without us really, you know, not doing anything, but not forcing anything.
Yeah,
right?
I think being in an international,
just kept happening.
There's more interesting things than what's your favorite color.
Wow.
Yeah. What's my favorite color, John?
Black.
I'm not really understanding because that actually sounds healthy. And very few of these relationships definitely start out healthy. They have to kind of find their way there. And I think the show thrives on that, though. I think the chaos of the show in the very beginning is like, how are these two going to make it? Like, if Bilal and Shida wind up being like Matt and Allah in 5 years, that'll be an accomplishment. I don't see that happening.
Let me ask you this then, because everyone's talking about Bilal and Shida and the prank he pulled, and it's ridiculous, right? It's a ridiculous prank. Would you move to another country without seeing where you were moving? She didn't.
Absolutely not.
Of course not.
No.
So that's on her.
On a radio show, and so, I haven't listened to it, but in the Sissy Squad, someone posted it. And I love that one Sissy said, I don't really have the time to listen to this. Can someone just summarize it for me?
That's our Facebook group in a nutshell.
And I don't know if someone did, but people were kind of like, oh, this made me see him in a different light.
No. He called into a radio show. It's a PR thing. Come on, y'all.
What he said was, we have a long history of pranking each other. And when I went to Trinidad, she told me where to stay. She found the Airbnb and it was in a shady neighborhood. So she played that prank on him. So now he's trying to play it on her.
Okay, that adds some context, but this is like... But
this is a little different.
Oh, That's a joke. This is a lie.
This is
diabolical.
Well, this is a test. This is not a prank. This is a test.
Of obeyance.
Yes.
Of how much she'll listen to him. And that's what's so fucked up about it.
But like, if you show up with the... I'm sorry. I'm just going to ask. If you show up with a Louis Vuitton bag somewhere, then the person's going to get an idea about you, right?
Exactly.
Why don't you just get freaking Jane sports bag and that's it? Yeah, like, you're a normal fucking person and no one's going to get any ideas.
Yeah, exactly.
Is that what John had when he met you?
Probably.
I had an LL Bean with my initials stitched into
it. That is the ultimate straight guy.
That's a straight guy. Oh, wow. Luggage.
That's how you know he's not gay, honey.
Since 2013, Bombas has donated over 100 million socks, underwear, and T-shirts to those facing homelessness. If we counted those on air, this ad would last over 1,157 days. But if we counted the time it takes to make a donation possible, it would take just a few clicks. Because every time you make a purchase, Bombas donates an item to someone who needs it.
Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/ACAST, code ACAST.
If you're looking for plump lips that last, you need to know about Juvederm lip fillers. With Juvederm Volbella XC and Juvederm Ultra XC, your lip look, whether it's subtle or bold, can last up to 1 full year with optimal treatment and no additional maintenance. Find a licensed specialist and see if it's right for you at Juvederm.com today. That's Juvederm.com. Add fullness to lips in adults over 21 with Juvederm Volbella XC or Juvederm Ultra XC. Do not use if you have severe allergies or a history of severe allergic reactions, or if you're allergic to lidocaine or the proteins used in Juvederm. Tell your doctor if you have a history of scarring or taking medicines that decrease the body's immune response or that can prolong bleeding. Common side effects include injection site redness, swelling, pain, tenderness, firmness, lumps, bumps, bruising, discoloration, or itching. As with all fillers, there's a rare risk of unintentional injection into a blood vessel, which can cause vision abnormalities, blindness, stroke, temporary scabs, or scarring. For full, important safety information, visit Juvederm.com.
Poodle, you know when you're listening to a song on the radio and you get the profound feeling that the song playing was written about you?
Oh, it's not a feeling. I know a lot of songs are written about me.
What? Yeah, when they get a little bite of Poodle, it's hard to let go. There are too many songs to even elaborate on.
That's fine. You don't have to tell us about them.
You know, the song The Scientist? About me.
You slept with Chris Martin?
Coldplay.
I know he's from Coldplay.
No, I slept with Coldplay. All of them. Keep up. Lionel Richie, he was stuck on me from the very beginning. Who do you think suggested Nicole should go to boarding school?
Okay, we get it. No, Poodle, I bring this up because apparently you know what it's like to have a song written just for you, but for the rest of us mere mortals.
Your words.
Imagine having the power to gift that same incredible feeling to someone you love with an original song from Songfinch that actually is written just for them. Sissies, Songfinch lets you create an original radio-quality song inspired by your own life and the people you love. It's completely unique, personal, and it lasts forever.
Oh, I love this idea. Flowers die, chocolates melt, but a song is eternal.
Unless it's a poorly written song, then bury that thing forever.
Agreed. But I have to say, the songs from Songfinch are really fantastic. They're thoughtful, and they sound like something you would hear on the radio.
Okay, but is it hard to set up? Probably takes a lot of work, right?
Not at all. Songfinch walks you through a simple process to create your original song. Just tell them who the song is for, what style of song you want, and then share some personal details about your relationship. Then an actual Songfinch musician of your choice will write, record, and produce your original song in just 4 to 7 days.
Well, that sounds easy enough.
I know. I just submitted a song request for something I want to use on our tour, and I cannot wait to get it back. And based on the sample recordings I heard when I was choosing the singer, it's going to be so good. I also love that they had unique add-ons that make the gift even more special, like a vinyl record of your song or a one-of-a-kind art piece made from your lyrics. Or you could even add your song to Spotify. With more than 350,000 happy customers, Songfinch is proud to be called the number one custom music company in the world.
Well, Maddie, I want to have a song written about me.
But Poodle, you just said you had.
I want more.
Hush. Sissies, whether your song is for Mother's Day, Father's Day, or an upcoming graduation or wedding, or just to show a loved one how much you care, start your song now to lock in a top Songfinch artist.
And for a limited time, Songfinch is letting our listeners upload their songs to Spotify for free, so you and the lucky person you gift it to can listen to it anywhere, anytime. Go to songfinch.com/realitygaze and start your song. After you purchase, you'll be prompted to add Spotify streaming for your original song for free, a $50 value.
Again, our URL is songfinch.com/realitygaze. Don't forget to share your song with us too. songfinch.com/realitygaze.
You know, Manny, this reminds me, you know that song from the Four Tops, Can't Help Myself?
Oh, I love that song. Sugar Pie Honey Bunch.
Yep, about me. And the funny thing is, they really are Four Tops.
Let's get back to the saddest episode of Cribs ever, shall we?
Yeah.
Okay, this is Mike, y'all. He got an apartment. It's a fucking shoebox.
No, it's a closet I'm sitting in, like literally.
Yeah.
It's worse than my college dorm room.
Like,
I mean, it kind of makes sense that you realize he got an apartment. It's his work apartment. So once he said that, I went, oh, okay. But it's like, this is like the fucking Jolly Green Giant living in a trailer house.
Yes. I lived in a really small thing. When I was living in Austria, for 2 weeks, I lived in dorms at a university in Graz in the south. And I was in the tiniest dorm room they had, and it was bigger than this room. It 100%. It was awful. This was...
I was looking for the Nirvana poster. It brought me back to college.
It's a closet with a flat screen TV. Like, that's what it is.
But how savage is it that the minute or the month or two later that he breaks up with Natalie, he then moves to Seattle where she wanted to move the entire time?
Oh, I never even thought about that. What a fucking slap in the face.
That's all she wanted, really.
Because we do find out, like, you definitely see part of Natalie's story. And I don't know why they ever said it. She said he worked a lot. We didn't realize. Mike described his day. I guess he has to wait for a ferry, y'all. And not a Poodle and Maddie ferry, but like an actual boat carrying cars.
That he has to wait for like 3 fucking hours for.
So
his commute is like 6 hours of a day.
Ridiculous.
He said he leaves at 3:45 in the morning and doesn't get back till 9 o'clock at night. And I'm like, this poor woman is just sitting in the wood by herself. All like, it just, to me, it made me even more angry at Mike that he thinks like that it's okay to just bring someone from another country to the middle of fucking nowhere where they know anyone and just let them sit out here.
I totally agree with you, but all that went away when we saw her by herself. I can't put anything of Mike when we saw her on The Single Life.
Oh, she's nuts. Mm-hmm.
So, and I can't. We all thought we might see a different side of Natalie. No, she's just as self-destructive. And when she doesn't have someone else there to either worry about her or to fight with, she's even worse. She's even more self-destructive.
Yeah. She's trying to date in Florida without the drinking. Get out of here.
Good point.
Get out of here. Like, you go on a date and you do what? You freaking eat ice cream? Like, no.
No.
So Teresa, as a woman, we very rarely, you know, Jake and I think we are. What is your kind of take on the Mike and Natalie situation?
Well, take on from the foreign perspective or just like that?
Both.
Just yours, yeah.
All right. I don't think that Mike should have brought her over after she threw the ring at him when she was back in Ukraine. Like, if John threw his ring at me, I would be like, you're an idiot. Like, I'm out of here. Like, what is this, right? They weren't even married. They were engaged. She did that. So the fact that after this whole thing, they had this messy relationship, talking online, right? I was like, okay, should I come? Maybe, yeah, let's figure it out. She finally came. And I assume she did not Google Squim because she was so surprised. Like, I would Google the shit out of it, right? She got to the farm. He worked all the late hours. I mean, that whole relationship, all the issues with her not accepting him having a beer. with her trying to turn him into a freaking vegetarian. Like, I don't shit on, like, you do you, right? But don't try to turn someone into something if they don't want to. So they had all these issues when they just weren't on the same page. And I feel like I always tell everyone on our podcast, to our friends, like, if you want to have a successful relationship, you need to make compromises, right? You need to compromise because you're two different people. You're not freaking twins.
Yeah.
And so if you cannot compromise, it's not going to work. And she was just trying to turn him into someone he was not. And he wasn't, he didn't want to compromise by staying, you know, in the farm, traveling all those hours, leaving her with Uncle Bojangles. I mean, Bo, who knows what was going on there, right?
I don't like Natalie.
So, I mean, that whole thing was just so messy that I'm not surprised it didn't work out. What I am surprised is how is she still in the U.S.?
Mm-hmm.
Because people are still asking that.
I honestly want to know, because if Mike said that he never filed for the paperwork to get her green card, that means she's here illegally. But, I mean, she's doing things. So
and someone's paying her, whether it's TLC. Yeah.
I think that I think they have some type of tacit agreement that they'll both get the fame they want for a while and get the payment, and they're going to do this as long as TLC keeps offering. Mm-hmm. And then this whole thing about talking to the divorce attorney, who kind of looked like someone who might play the panpipes in a forest somewhere.
I wanted to hear the reference of that.
Like a Legolas kind of beautiful little boy with a beard.
He was gorgeous.
Sorry, John.
Yeah, no, he moisturizes, you can tell. He's
you definitely does. Fresh faced like a little elf.
Yeah.
but he that was all just for show. He's not gonna file it. He still wants to both keep her on the line. It's that he feels like she will depend on him in some way, so that he'll kind of punish her in that way.
Do y'all think that, because we're going to start in a minute talk about Butter, because Mom is back. Butter got her way.
Trish.
Mom got her way. She wanted to live with her son so he could suckle her breast, and she got her way. But
Punkasaurus.
Punkasaurus. Her claim is that Natalie didn't love him. Do you think Natalie loved Mike?
I think she did.
Yeah, I honestly think if Mike made a couple concessions, mm-hmm. and maybe if she did too, they'd be together. If he moved to Seattle 6 months earlier, if he had a few less beers, they might still be together.
No, the beers. Like, if she accepted him having a few beers, come on.
So let's do that. Yeah, they moved to Seattle, but he can keep drinking.
Yeah, I think you made a good point, is that, sorry, a little bile came up because I'm about to say I see Mike's point more than Natalie, and that was hard to admit. But Mike, I think, is the more compromising person in this relationship, and Natalie is not at all.
No.
Yeah. She's always out to attack. Have you ever been to a museum? What's your IQ?
That was so cringy.
My take on the love thing is Natalie lives in fairy tales, and even America is a fairy tale for her. And so this man was her lumberjack fairy tale guy from the, and as soon as it became real, like everything in her life, when it becomes real, she tries to somehow manipulate it into making it where what she wants to be in her mind. This perfect Christian guy, I'll make him into this because he'll do it because he loves God and loves me. Yeah. And then, however, she realizes that's not going to work, and she gets sullen and she weaponizes it.
So, and then she's on her third divorce or fourth divorce or whatever.
And she didn't expect that he, worshipped and thinks we come from aliens.
Yeah, I think she loved him when he was coming to Ukraine, because he came, right, as this American, right, and portrayed himself in a certain, not even portrayed, he was being himself, I would hope, but you come in and you're like this, wow, you're from America, you have money, you do this, you do that, right? And you see this person as like, wow, like, oh my gosh, like, love it, right? And then you move over there and you're like, wait a minute, he lives in Squim, he lives on a farm, like there is nothing around here, there is Uncle Bo is here, like what's going on over there, and then freaking Trish, And so you start like realizing that, wait a minute, this is not what I pictured. And I think so many of these foreigners feel this way because unfortunately, America is portrayed by in two ways. One way is that everyone's fat, right? And the other way is that everyone's rich.
Yes.
And many of these foreigners come here and if they end up in freaking, I don't know, South Dakota, it's not New York City. It's not LA, right? You don't see, maybe you see some fancy people. You don't see Manhattan, right? You don't see all that. And they're like, wait a minute, this is not what I signed up for. This is not what I expected. Like, you don't have a huge house with a pool. Like, what's going on? And I believe that a lot of people feel this way because if you've never been here and all you do is you watch Gossip Girl and something else on TV that shows you the different America, the America you want, then you get shocked. You're like, wait a minute, right? And I believe that that was part of it, that Natalie realized that this is not what I signed up for. Like, no, that's not what I want to do.
Totally.
Wow. Go ahead.
No, I was just going to say, so Trish is moved in. Butter is at the residence when he comes. And of course, y'all, she starts in. So any women in Seattle?
Seattle.
You seen any women? Because you're going to not talk to that scammer no more.
She's a lion snake. She's a margarine woman in a butter world.
This is her retirement. This is Punkasaurus's retirement. Is that not crazy? She's like, yep, I sold my house. First of all, where did all those little pigs go?
Where are all the tchotchkes going?
Where the tchotchkes go? Yeah. There's no room in Mike's house for him. And this is her retirement?
I hate that he calls her a Punkasaurus because I am a big fan of dinosaurs and it ruins it for me.
Yeah, because if Trish is a Punkasaurus, you don't ever want to meet one of those.
Yeah, what does it even mean?
Punkasaurus.
Punkasaurus. It's like he just said Punkasaurus, and she's like, I like that. And then I don't know. It's their relationship is weird. Every time I see her in that terrible hair, I think of the female bus driver, Mrs. Something on South Park, who had the bird in their hair. She's a weird person.
I'm just going to say something that's probably going to add context. And if you listen to our show at all, a lot of listeners know, I'm just going to say this. Butter is weird for Oklahoma even. And that's saying something because that's where she moved from. I'm sure she moved because she was weird there.
Right.
Well, good luck to her.
Good luck. Shall we move on to rainbow skies in Mexico, shall we?
Yes, please.
Yes. Let's move on to Kenny and Armando, everyone's favorite couple. We were actually excited when we were going to get a gay couple on Night at Fiancé because it's the first male same-sex couple. And we were kind of like ready for a mess. We were ready for like drunken bar fights and screaming about cheating and throwing people out in the street. No, they're put together gays who have children. So
we are getting that in Love and Paradise this season. We are getting it on season two of that.
If I'm going to take my shirt off, I will in a club. There,
there are two gay men fighting in a gay club. Literally, there's like a go-go boy dancing while they're screaming at each other.
You gotta watch.
Two lesbians in a poly relationship. Like, it's messy. It's so great. But yes, Kenny and Armando, I'm so happy to be back in Mexico.
He saw his grandson being born, Julian, Cassidy's son. And before they were leaving, they had that kind of upsetting video call about having a baby. This is off and on and off. We've talked about this in their whole time. I have a theory about this and I'll talk about it later on, but it's so nice to see how Hannah calls Kenny daddy and it's so sweet. And I kind of felt a pang in my heart when I saw Truffles, who has moved off this mortal coil since then. So pour one out for Truffles, y'all. Rest in power.
Yes.
Cheers. Truffles.
Cheers.
That old girl. Boy. She's in doggy heaven across the rainbow bridge with one eye going this way and that tongue still out. God bless her.
I made it across the border and then I took a trip where no one can follow me.
I mean, I'm a sucker for senior dogs, so I was sad when Truffles passed.
You had a glimmer of hope when we watched this recent episode. You're like, oh, Truffles is still alive.
Nope.
Like, no.
No.
She passed a couple months back. She was like 18 years old, though.
So it's very old. Let's just get to it in that they see each other. Everybody's happy. They're kind of, we have all the yay, yay. And then we're just jumping, going to the beach, and we're just jumping right into this. I forgot about this baby conversation, but that's where we left them on the other way. And I guess they've had some stuff in diaries, but you know, Armando wants a child from Kenny's loins, literally of Kenny's bloodline. And I don't know. Jake and I've talked about this a lot. John, what's your thoughts, initial thoughts, as you see them talk about this?
So many thoughts. I mean, my first is, does Armando really want a kid? Well, first of all, actually, I would want Kenny's genes too. So that makes sense.
He does not age. He does not age.
And his kids are gorgeous.
Yes, agreed.
Genes are incredible, so I get that. I almost feel like Armando has some guilt because Hannah is his genes, right? And so he almost feels like, let's make it even here. Let's make it fair. We'll have a kid with your genes. And you know Kenny doesn't want one. And you see it in this episode. He almost keeps moving the goalpost of like, what about Mexico? What about Mexico City?
This is what I wrote down. Yeah.
What about Mexico City?
We'll talk
about
that.
Now he's putting it on Armando to go, well, if you're okay, you have to be okay with this. And then we can get to the baby issue.
Yep. It's totally that. Because the bottom line, you're exactly right. Kenny does not want to have another baby. He's doing everything he can to kind of slow Armando's roll and hopefully thinking like, he'll forget about it. It's a little deceptive, but what he's doing is introducing another red herring so he'll have an argument to use as a backup argument.
Yeah,
100%. And it is something that when two people are at an impasse where neither of them can agree on something and one is totally in it and the other is totally not, but they still do love each other. This is oftentimes something what people do, though. So
Yeah, Armando's reason is that Kenny's way older. Once he passes away, I want to have something left. Which,
that's God,
it's a little morbid.
I never thought about that, but that's true.
But no, I'm sure that's part of it.
He keeps a piece of Kenny.
Yeah, and he said it in a way that, you know, like, you're older. You're gonna go in not a couple of years, but you're gonna go eventually. Yeah. What am I gonna do here alone? I want a piece of
like
you,
like a living, breathing, like ashes urn.
Yes. So if you think about it, it's kind of beautiful.
It is, but you also have to raise this living, breathing ashes urn.
I mean, Kenny's just tired. We've talked about this before, I think his son like is an adult who does his own things, but like those daughters are attached to the hip. So I think he's just like, I love my kids, and I'm exhausted from just still raising my adult kids. Practically,
mm-hmm. I think this would be hard because I think Kenny loves Armando so much, but he sees that part of him and it's hard for him to make to basically say that you want this. And I, even though I love you so much, I don't want this. It's really hard for him to even make that kind of admission. But he doesn't want it. You're exactly right. He doesn't want another kid. So,
and can you blame him? He's almost six. He's almost 60. That's a lot.
Raise
that's a lot. And that's how you're gonna spend your last good years is raising a toddler.
Right.
Is that really what you want to do?
It's also that would be hard for me because if I had a child at 60, then because they can't just get pregnant. Believe me, Poodle and I have tried in our ways.
Yeah.
We just can't. It won't take. And so
I would be by now.
They have to go through this process. So you're right. He's going to be at least 60 before they have a kid. So then that I don't, maybe it's selfish, but I wouldn't want to just see possibly worst case scenario, 10, potentially best case scenario, only 20 years of my child's life.
and to yeah. do that to the kid, to go to your dad's funeral when you're 9 or 10.
Oh, like, God.
I can't imagine, as someone who just went through that at 43, I do have such a sympathy. I don't know if both of you have your parents, but I have such a sympathy now for people that have lost parents at a young age.
Yeah.
Yeah, so, for sure.
Yeah. It's, but I think you're exactly right. I think that he, that would be very difficult. And I think it's just, it's, I think why, one of the reasons Kenny fell in love with Armando is this is a different part of his life. And it's because this was so easy and they're going to, it was hard moving to Mexico, but the relationship they have is easy. And so, mm-hmm. as soon as you have another child, it's going to really complicate things.
So, and what do we think about the moving? Because if I remember correctly, I feel like John and Teresa remember things more than we do. Shocking.
Always they will.
Always.
It's like correct Swiss me if cheese, I'm wrong. My brain.
Kenny is the one who wanted, was it Kenny or Armando who wanted to move to the other side of the peninsula away from his family? It was Kenny, right?
Yeah, almost certainly.
I don't know.
I don't remember. I don't know. And so, like, they already moved either. Once away from his family, and now he wants to move to Mexico City. So that's like, that would, I don't even know how long the car ride would be, but that is basically a very far trip from his family at all. Oh, so, it, yeah,
what,
I just,
what
yeah.
What I'm saying is this isn't real. This is, this move to Mexico City is a red herring. This is never going to happen. This is him trying to say, this is what I wish. So if yeah. we have a baby, we'll have to move to Mexico City. And Armando's like, but I don't want to move to Mexico City. That's what I'm saying. This is completely to not have a baby.
Exactly. And if you want dessert, Armando, you got to eat your vegetables.
Exactly.
And, yeah.
Yeah. And what Armando was saying about Mexico City, like he has friends there and it doesn't feel safe. Like, I have friends who lived in Mexico City and they were saying the same thing. They were saying that it's not the safest place to be. And I've never been. I've only been to Tijuana, which also I would not recommend to move to.
That is not safe.
Oh, good memories. Good memories.
I went to Mexico City about 2 years ago. It's a gorgeous town and it's beautiful. It's my favorite place I've ever visited in Mexico, but I'm also not a beach person. So it's a beautiful international city. And I actually have a couple of actor friends, honestly, that have gone there and now are expats and living there. But like,
is there work?
Yeah, they're getting work. Yeah. Wow. And so that it's true. And he is right. Like, I saw gay couples holding hands walking down the streets of Mexico City. Like, it is a much more progressive city, but it's also, it feels like a New York City. It is crowded. It is dirtier. It's not anything what they're used to. And I remember we left and like the next day there was an article like about a tour bus, like where we were, that was completely kidnapped. So like, whoa. There are some shit that's happening that if, cause I think we have to remember Armando's really, he's a country boy, so to speak.
Yeah.
So that's what he's used to. Yeah, I agree. I never thought of it that way, but it's probably smart, strategically smart of Kenny to put it that way, because Armando, it seems like Armando, he's nice about it and he's sweet about it. But he also, once he gets his mindset on something, it's hard to sway him.
No, this is calling to see the hand. This is, I raise you. If I was like trying to win a game, this is a genius way to do it. Maybe not the best way to do it in a relationship, but who am I to judge?
So yeah, you don't want your bluff called though. At the
you
end
don't
of
want
that.
Your bluff no. called. No,
you don't want yeah. your bluff called.
But he knows Armando will not move to Mexico City.
They're not gonna move to Mexico City.
They're not gonna have. Let's say it. They're not having a baby. They're not moving to Mexico City.
They may ding, have ding, a baby. Ding. They may have a baby. I think right. they may have a baby.
Oh.
I really think that
Kenny might relent.
Yeah.
I think maybe Armando will adopt, but I think that's it. Is that even, yeah, you can just tell when I felt for him when he was on the beach. I feel like he just wanted to scream out, I'm tired.
Yes.
It doesn't show, which is the hard part. Have a couple bags under your eyes. Like,
that's true.
He swears, John, he's never had any surgery.
Because he's gorgeous.
He came for us literally on the Instagram. He's like, and I've never had Botox. And I'm like, okay, I believe you. But then you've got to stop using your good moisturizer, Kenny. You've got to look tired. Armando doesn't believe you. That's it.
How do you spend your life in the Florida sun and not have wrinkles?
I know. He wants to wear a sun hat everywhere he goes.
Unless he's using a Vaseline, because that's what I use and it's the bomb. I swear by Vaseline.
You heard it today says beauty regimen.
I put Vaseline all over my body. Everything is very soft and
smooth.
Well,
that's between us, Teresa.
I was going to say, that sounds a little private, but sure.
I've been in a pinch before, and it works for more things than you think.
Yeah,
that's fine.
I own stock.
I go to some guy's house. I was like, wow, that's a big bucket. Lay down. Okay. Anyway, on that note.
Well, it's cold.
On that note, we're gonna continue part two in a minute. Which, by the way, listeners, we're gonna be talking about Tariq and Hazel this episode.
Tarzel.
We're gonna be talking about we're gonna be talking about Anna and Marcel. Oh
wow.
And we're going to be talking about, like you talked about, we're going to be talking about Matt and Ala. That's who we're going to talk about. So if you want to hear the part two, you got to jump over to Married to Realities, to their free feed, and listen to part two. And y'all, tell them, where can they find all things you? And what else do you cover?
So first of all, thank you so much for having us. This has been so much fun. So thank you. Married to Reality is the name of the podcast. You can find us on Instagram at Married to Reality Pod. We cover 90 Day Fiancé, all things 90 Day, Darcy and Stacey, all the iterations, Below Deck, and Married at First Sight, which you guys don't cover Married at First Sight.
We did a couple of the Australian. It is on my bucket list because I love it.
You do? Okay.
But it's such a big franchise that we're trying to figure out how we're going to do it all.
I feel like if Summer House sucks next year, I kind of want to drop it and maybe pop on. But it's not just one show. Like Jake said, it's a behemoth.
It's the first crazy dating reality show. Like before The Ultimatum or whatever it was, Love is Blind.
It was,
here are strangers, go get married. Like it was the first crazy dating show.
Do you guys watch the Australian one?
No.
Oh, my God.
That's what people say, but we just stick to the American one.
Yeah, the Australian one is like if they had four times the budget of the American one.
Ooh.
And, it is better, I have to say. It is better.
Now I'm intrigued.
It is, but also it goes on longer. You'll just and the experts get nuttier and nuttier with their choices, and the people I find are just a little more compelling and not as outwardly messy as the American one is.
Okay.
But yeah, see if you can find, we have a live watch in our Facebook group for it. You can get links to see where they are.
There's so much good, bad television. It's
we're living in the golden age.
Golden age
of trash. So y'all, let's wrap this up. So you tell us where you find us on Instagram. And
I'll put a link in the show notes, by the way. You can click on it.
And y'all, thank you so much, John Teresa. We will see you on their podcast, Married to Reality. We'll see you in a bit, y'all. Yeah.
Thanks, guys. Woo-hoo.
Thanks, guys.
Poodle, I need to talk to you about something that happened at our New York live show.
The line designer said it was his first time and that his wife didn't care.
No, Poodle. It's just that people are talking about your outfit from the show.
Oh, yes. My corset that I bought online that was specially made for my body. It accentuated my creamy shoulders and gave me a waist cinched for the gods.
Well, also, I don't know how to say this, but some sissies said their male husbands noticed your...
caboose? Men flocked to my posterior. It makes sense.
No, the other side. They noticed your junk.
Oh, my.
And apparently there was some jealousy. I can't believe I'm talking about this. But some men said you looked very junk forward, and some male sissies in the audience were a little jealous.
Well, they should be. I bring the heat. Well, if I'm honest, Maddie, I've got a little secret.
Oh, I know you banged the guy that organizes your building's trash bins.
How dare you mention Orlando? I can neither confirm nor deny. No, Maddie, I mean, those male sissies don't need to be jealous at all. Well, maybe a little jealous. But they, too, can be junk-forward like me. My secret is that I wear the contoured pouch and ball caddy from MeUndies.
The contoured pouch and ball caddy?
Yes, the contoured pouch and ball caddy. Not only is MeUndies underwear comfortable and breathable, but it also makes my junk look huge!
MeUndies, who knew?
Yes, and MeUndies has looks for all types of people. From all black classics to fun, expressive prints, MeUndies has a look for everyone. Plus, they come in sizes extra small through 4XL, guaranteeing a flattering cut for everybody.
Oh, and I do know that MeUndies isn't just about underwear. Their lounge collection is incredible, featuring joggers, hoodies, and onesies, and more. And it is unmatched comfort because MeUndies' signature fabric is as soft as a warm hug from your favorite sweater. It's breathable, stretchy, and oh so comfy, making it ideal for all-day wear.
Well, not only are they cozy, but MeUndies uses sustainably sourced materials and works with partners that care for their workers. And if you're not happy with your first pair of MeUndies, it's on MeUndies.
Well, Poods, now that I'm living the single life like Nuttley, I need to advertise. I'm getting some MeUndies.
I don't want to hear about your sex life on the podcast. Sissies, good things come in big packages at MeUndies. Get 20% off your first order plus free shipping at MeUndies.com/realitygaze.
That's MeUndies.com/realitygaze for 20% off plus free shipping. MeUndies, comfort from the outside in.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.